Welcome back. It's your host, Alyssa, and this is Walking in the Sun with God. And on this episode, my dad is joining us once again, and we're going to talk about two very important, very big things. The first one we're going to talk about is the power of words and controlling the tongue. And we can also relate that back to scriptures as found in James, in the book of James, in section 3, verses 1 through 12. And then we are also going to talk about the power and dangers of messages and the inflection that can be put on those messages. And I especially want to talk about that in the second half of this episode because it's such a dominant way of communication in our world nowadays that it's mind-blowing. So to start off with, Dad, you have introduced yourself before, but there might be new listeners. Do you want to introduce yourself again?
So my name is Randy. I'm obviously Allie's dad. And I'm very thankful that she allows me to be part of these things. I don't know that she needs me, but it's still nice to be part of this ministry that she's putting out there for people. And I hope that what we talked about today is helpful. In my profession, I'd say probably 85 to 90% of what I do revolves 100% around communication. And as a dad and as a husband of 27 years, I understand how important communication is in a relationship with a spouse, with a child, with friends, and I understand how powerful words can be. And I have a little bit of life history or life experience that might play into this and give you all something to work with.
All right. So let's start by actually reading that section in James that I listed off at the start of this episode, which is, again, James 3, 1 through 12. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we will all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so, blessings and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Okay, there's a lot in that section, so let's break it down. We're going to start with verse 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So that's a really good analogy, because the tongue is one of the smallest parts of the body, actually, and yet it wields and holds so much power, just like the analogy that we just read. Like, if you work with horses, you've seen the bits that go in their mouth. They are very small. They're not this huge thing. And just by a slight tug on that, you can direct the horse wherever you want to go. And if you have a boat or have been on a ship and you've seen the rudder, it's not a huge piece. It's very small, and yet it can turn this very big object with ease. And that relates to the tongue because, like it is, it's so small, yet so powerful.
It's extremely powerful, and what's interesting is when you talk about controlling a boat, right? Mm-hmm. Even our surf boat, right, has a rudder, and that's how we go left, right? Or you talk about controlling a horse, where it's just a slight discomfort in the mouth that can turn it to the left or to the right or make it stop or go. What's interesting is that those are outside forces, right? It's a person putting in the input on the boat.
Yeah.
It's a person controlling the direction of the horse by putting input on that bit and causing discomfort or making it turn one way or the other. When we're talking about the tongue, we as human beings are in control of the tongue. Mm-hmm. There's not an outside force for the most part. Now, there's obviously things where people are controlled and they're forced to say things that maybe they wouldn't want to say. But we're talking just day-to-day life. The only control in the mouth and the words that come out of your mouth comes from you yourself.
Yes.
Right? So what can we do? Practice self-control, right? But also allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Mm-hmm. And to, because that's the only outside influence that will be pure and will want us to go in the right direction, right? We'll allowing that influence of the Holy Spirit to control what we say and guide our words and to slow our speech.
Yes.
Right? You know, yes. The Bible also talks about, you know, a harsh word, you know, can cause anger and rage, where a soft word can turn away. I'm getting that verse completely wrong because I wasn't really thinking about it. It just kind of came to me. But
yeah.
The power of the tongue is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it can build people up or it can tear people down.
Yes. We used to watch, I used to go to a charter school and they had this, like, I remember watching the video 3 times within my 7.5 years of going to the charter school. And it was about bullying. And one of it was words. And it's how you speaking to someone that you might not even really know, like you might not even have a friendship or relationship with this person, but you're just speaking these harsh words to them, and it can completely destroy their self-esteem. It destroys the way they feel, and it can destroy their life, and it can lead, in extreme cases, to them taking their own life, and all that stems from this tiny part of the body, the tongue. Mm-hmm. And as the verse says, it is set on fire by hell itself, which is really true, because I think things that come from the mouth hurt worse than physical things.
Things that, so a physical ailment, let's say you break your leg, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to heal. Is there going to be a scar? There will be a scar. If I x-rayed your body 50 years from now, I would see where your leg had been broken.
Yeah.
But that's something that heals, even though it leaves a scar. It, you move on, and you'll still be able to walk, you'll still be able to run, you'll still be able to do these things. I can still remember, you know, growing up where other kids said mean things to me, where coaches were derogatory about me, or in a professional as I grew into an adulthood where, you know, a boss said something that was really hurtful or painful. Those things on any given moment can really take me back and bring me down.
Yeah, right? They can.
You take that same scenario, that same situation, you put it into a relationship. I have said things to you that I wish I could take back. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't uplifting, they weren't encouraging.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. And in a marriage, which is extremely important, and I think I'm probably talking to a lot of young adults or young, you know, older teenagers, that marriage might be something in the future. The words you use when you're speaking with, to, and about your future spouse or your current spouse, they can completely destroy the good that God wants for those relationships.
Yes. Yes. Think about this to everyone that's listening. Have you ever been having a good day or just like a normal day, and then something happens and you say something to the other person, and now the whole day or a couple hours are just completely wrecked?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I don't know that you can be alive for very long and not have that experience.
Right? We had it right. The other day.
We did.
Have we it had the it the day. Other day. Yeah. I was petty too, but like that's all it takes. That's literally the power of words and the powers of the tongues, that it can literally wreck your entire day.
It can wreck an entire day or wreck more than that.
You yeah, know, like depending saying, on what's said or if it's saying, or if it's continuous.
If someone has been continuously bullied, mm-hmm. it can really break them down and really affect the way that they live their life or end their life. Right. Yeah. That happens. You can have a marriage that instead of being words of affirmation and uplifting, you end up breaking the marriage and destroying the marriage because of the hurtful things that you say.
Yeah, because you're tearing the other person down.
You can, as a parent, take a child, and you can take a child that should be loved and encouraged and uplifted and guided. And if you don't do that appropriately and use the wrong words, you can turn that child into a rebellious, angry person. Mm-hmm. That's going to have to go through a lot of hurt and pain to come back around.
Yeah.
You know, so the power and the choice of words that you use should always reflect Christ. And that sounds maybe a little bit too churchy for some people, so let me just put it this way. Uplifting and encouraging. Mm-hmm. Right? There's an old saying that says, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Yep.
And that's a nice way of saying it. I say, shut your mouth if you don't have anything positive to say, right? There's nothing good, you know, there's a time and a place for correction, a time and a place for coaching, a time and a place for guidance. That is part of using the tongue the right way, knowing when and how to address an issue. But I think what we're talking about more for you and me and for what we're talking about here, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is your show, it's that careless day-to-day stuff that's not necessarily a coaching situation or a parenting situation. Yeah. It's you say something off the cuff, it's kind of rude, and it hurts somebody.
Yeah.
It hurts their feelings.
Yeah.
It makes them feel unloved. It makes them feel unsafe. With your mom and I, one of the number one things I always want to do is I want to make sure she feels safe.
Yeah.
And if I'm careless with my words, I can take her in a situation where she feels safe and protected and loved, which translates into an incredible fun day most of the time. Mm-hmm. I can take that and with one or two careless sayings or one or two careless words or one or two careless comments, I can take that, I can make her feel unsafe, I can make her feel unloved, I can make her feel unprotected, and that will take a situation and it'll just crush it.
Yeah,
Your day will be done. It's super important.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I'm not giving you all examples, right? You're listening to me ramble. But I'm not saying, well, what types of things? Listen up. Y'all know.
Yeah.
Y'all know.
Those young things people, that come back
kids,
to
you. You all know.
Yeah.
When you have friends, you know where their soft spots are. When you have siblings, you know where their soft spots are. When you're a child, you know how to get under your parents' skin.
Yep.
And parents, you know how to antagonize your kids. And married people or dating people, you know, and if you don't, it's only because you haven't been dating for very long, you know the things that hurt. And that carelessness and that selfishness that we have inside ourselves creates these environments where you say the thing and you know you shouldn't.
You usually regret it the second it comes out of your mouth.
Well, a lot of times, right? Yeah. Sometimes you're just being a jack. Not a nice person.
Yep.
Sorry, that was not professional. I apologize. But
it's sometimes true, you're
just being mean.
Yeah.
For no real reason. And I'll be honest, there's always some underlying hurt. Hurting people hurt people.
Yes, right? That is so true.
But the words that we use need to be controlled by something. Mm-hmm. That goes back to where you started. The rudder on a ship, the bridle and the bit on a horse, outside forces controlling it.
Yeah.
And you can do the thing, you can read the books, you can do the practices, you can practice self-control, you can practice listening before you speak, listening more than you speak. But as I get older, I'm a firm believer, being in tune with the Holy Spirit and trying to reflect Christ back to everybody, you know, that is the outside force that we allow into our lives that keeps that rudder on track.
Yeah,
AKA
it is.
AKA keeps your tongue and your mouth shut sometimes, right?
Yeah, so that's really good, and that's kind of all we have for that section. But before we move on, you might be wondering, okay, but how do I get in tune with the Holy Spirit? Prayer, reading your Bible, spending time with God, doing devotions, just really working on your relationship with God, and then surrendering and asking Him and allowing Him to come into your life. And His Spirit will be in your life, and His Spirit will direct you. We've all had that. My pastor did this sermon back in youth group many, many years ago, and I don't remember all the details of it. But there was one thing. He's like, if you ever found yourself in a situation and you catch yourself saying, what am I going to do? Or no, it's not what I'm going to do. It's, I hope blank doesn't find out. Those are guardrails, and that guardrail is usually the Holy Spirit giving you a nudge, saying, hey, maybe not. Like, let's not go here. That's a guardrail. And he said that can be from the Holy Spirit trying to get you back on track, because that's what guardrails are for on the road. They're meant to crumple, but they're also meant to kind of keep you on the road if you crash instead of going off the edge. So I wanted to put that snippet out there before we move on.
Prayer, the Bible, and God has put some amazing people on this planet that have written some amazing books that can help you with communication. An easy read that I've even tried to get Allie to read that she hasn't yet. I threw that out there. Is a book called Everyone Communicates, But Nobody Listens, or Not Everyone Listens. And that's by John C. Maxwell. I would encourage anyone of any age to read that book. It's the whole point of the book is communication and using your words in the right way. Another book that's an oldie, and it's a classic, is How to Win Friends and Influence People. You can Google those, you can Amazon those, but I would encourage you on this. Hey, there's no money for here. No money for me on these.
No, none for
I'm not plugging these books because I'm getting any stipend.
No.
I'm just saying that these are books that can help you actually understand the power of your words
mm-hmm.
and understand how to use them in an appropriate and godly way.
Yeah. And if anyone is struggling with their words and struggling with that control, but you don't know how to ask for help, there's a verse in Psalms, it's Psalms 143, that literally is the perfect prayer. And it says, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." That's the verse. That's a prayer right there. If you're struggling and you don't know what to say, there's your prayer right there. Ask him for that.
And that takes us back to what we were talking about with the verses that we recited, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're asking for that internal, that external thing from God to internalize itself in you and help you control your words.
Yes.
Just like I'm steering the boat, mm-hmm. I'm controlling where the boat goes. I'm keeping it on course. What that prayer is asking is for God to keep your spirit in check, to keep your soul in check, and to keep your words going where they need to go.
Yes.
That's a very good verse and a very good way to kind of wrap up that little section.
So, yeah, we're going to wrap that up. And I'm going to pass the reins a little bit more to you on this next one because you talked to me about this a lot. And that's kind of the dangers of messaging and the inflection that can be put on text messages.
So, we live in a... You want me to kind of just roll with this for a bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you interrupt me anytime you think I'm getting off track because I tend to wander, okay? In today's day and age, we have this amazing, awesome technology. Our phones allow us to communicate in so many different ways with the text messages, the apps, the Instagrams, the Facebook messengers, the... Snapchat, which I don't use, the Twitter thing, just go down the list, and a whole bunch that I don't even know about, and believe me, there's more and more every day. I hear about them all the time, and I have to deal with them professionally all the time, but with that amazing amount of technology, and this ability to quickly shoot off a message to someone, I have seen a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of hurt and a lot of relationships broken. And I've seen professional relationships damaged, you know, people who work together because of email or because of text messaging and things of that nature. You tell me, kiddo, what's the primary way you choose to talk? If you have your choice.
Message.
You're going to do a message.
I'm just going to send a quick message and get it done.
Get it done, right. The problem, there's so many different problems with this, is like, let's start with what is the purpose of talking to someone, right? In a workplace, the purpose could very well be just like, go move that.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. There is nothing deeper. But God is a God of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us all to have relationships. And we're not supposed to go through life as little independent robots that have no connection and no tie to anybody else. To develop a relationship, you have to be able to talk to people because there's so much that is relayed in voice inflection,
mm-hmm.
relayed in facial
expressions,
relayed in the physical touch that sometimes comes with talk, a hand on the shoulder, a holding of the hand, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. It may be a high five depending on the topic, but those relationships are built through that verbal communication. Now, I am not saying that there's not a place for text, because there absolutely is. And it has been, that's why I led off with, it's an amazing technology. But there's a lot of danger. One of the things that I see in text messaging is that when I send off a set of words to Stacy, to my wife, depending on the mood she is in, she will read that text based upon her emotional state at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? So, Zig Ziglar, another author, he used to be a salesman, and he wrote several books. But I've read a lot of his stuff, and I've listened to a lot of his lectures. He used to do a very simple exercise. And I'm not going to do the whole thing, because I'm not going to do as well as he does. And I don't want to rip him off. Now, there's probably some copyright thing. But he used the term, he used a simple sentence. The sentence is, I did not say he hit his wife. And if you read it that way, I did not say he hit his wife. It's just saying, I did not say he hit his wife.
Yeah.
Very calm, very direct, very black and white. Now, if you put an inflection or an emotion on any of those words, for example, I did not say he hit his wife. That first aggressive I, mm-hmm. I'm defensive in that tone.
Saying it wasn't me
it
that
wasn't
said
me.
This.
It wasn't me, it was someone else. You're mm-hmm. deflecting, saying, I did not say that, right? If you, and you, in what Ziglar does is he goes through each word. He goes, you know, I, and then the next example he uses the word did, and he just goes down the line. It's like, for example, to kind of wrap up the point, I did not say he hit his wife.
Yeah, not saying right? that, saying that it wasn't, the guy most likely hit someone.
Right.
But it wasn't his wife.
I didn't say he hit his wife. I'm saying that he hit somebody else's wife, right? Something ridiculous. But the point of that is, if you just do that, do it with yourself. You know, play through that sentence. I did not say he hit his wife. And as you do the sentence, emphasize each word.
And see how it changes.
One word at a time. And see how much it can change that sentence.
And the direction that sentence could point to.
Exactly. So my point in talking about this is, when you send that text message off, I'm going to read what you're saying based upon a lot of the time, based upon the mood that I am in. So you could be sending me a very simple text that's just very, very direct and very blunt, or very just simple, not with no extra meaning. You're walking out the door like, oh shoot, I need to tell Randy this. If I get that text and I've had a rough day, or I've had a rough time at home, or I just stubbed my toe, I mean, who knows what it could be.
Yeah.
You're giving me the power to read that text.
In whatever way I want to read it.
Whatever way I choose. Whatever way I feel at the moment. And you're not there to defend it. I'm just going to read it. And it could be, it's not always bad. Allie, have you had a problem where you sent an innocuous, that's not the right word, a simple text to a boy, and all of a sudden the boy thinks that you guys are in love?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, I have.
Right? So you send off a text, and it's read
in
the way, even if the words are boring and bland, like, hey, are you going to the pizza party tonight? Oh, right? They read it with that passion that they have in their head, right?
Yeah.
And granted, the kids your age are all, the boys your age are all morons, but, so, you know, there is that. But the power of words, right? So using those text messages, use them in the right format. Don't ever have a heavy, if you have to scroll on your phone screen to read to the end of the text, don't send it.
Yeah, because
it's too long.
That's a heavy topic, and they're going to put whatever inflection they are feeling at the moment, and that could go south so fast, because it's already a heavier topic, good or bad. And then you add that personal inflection, and like you said, they're not there to defend it, and it's most likely going to go south really quick.
Right. And here's the thing. You'll say things in a text that you don't have the courage to say in face-to-face situations.
Yeah. We've all done that. Everyone's done that.
You are hiding behind the keyboard, and you'll say something that maybe if you were having that conversation face to face,
you never would have said it.
You wouldn't have said it, and that creates what? It creates more damage, right?
And it doesn't go away.
And that's the other thing I was going to get to. So, if I say something to you, it hurts you.
Yeah.
You tell a couple people.
They might tell a couple people.
They might tell a couple people, but eventually. Most of the time, the stupid things we say, they're relatively short-lived.
Yeah.
Now, I let off...
It's just word of mouth.
I let off saying that I still, as a as an almost 50-year-old person, can think back to grade school and yeah. remember words. But they don't dwell on me, and the whole world doesn't know about that.
Yeah.
It's me and a small group of people that know that situation that led mm-hmm. to those harsh words that stick with me even today. What you and your generation, and really even my generation, because we're doing it more and more now too, what we need to realize is you put something in a text and you send that out.
Or a post.
Or a post on a Facebook or a Twitter, tweeter, twatter, whatever it happens to be, right? It's forever.
Yeah, it's going to be found.
It could be found 20 years from now, and it can become public.
And there are cases like that.
It can be very, very damaging, right?
Mm-hmm. Because someone's mad at you, they're going to dig up anything they can find on you. And that one sentence that you said that was a little harsh, they're going to use that as blackmail?
Sure.
Or they can use it as blackmail, or they can use it against you, and it can wreck everything. There was actually a gal who, like, I don't remember the whole story, but it's like she posted something in like grade school and it came back like 10 years later and she lost her job.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember us talking about that a few years
ago. That's very common. We can get into a whole conversation about cancel culture and the risks of that. But just in a personal matter, don't put something out there that's forever. I had a fifth grade teacher and her name was Mrs. Nelson, and I love her to death right now. She was one of the best teachers I had. But as a dumb fifth grader, she was pretty hard on me. And I didn't care for her too much. And I have my notebook, you know, my little notebook that you have, just the same
as your composition
notebook. And I drew some pretty brutal pictures. They weren't very quality. They weren't very good because I was a horrible artist. But I drew some pictures and I wrote her name on them and I did this. And I had probably 8 or 9 pages of that in my notebook.
Yeah.
Well, I was a fifth grader and I left that notebook sitting on her desk. Well, she went through it to see whose notebook it was so she could give it back, and she saw all those pictures.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, right. So Miss Nelson called me up to her desk, and she was a pro, right? She's a professional.
She's no stranger to this.
So she did not yell at me. She did not scream at me. She did not punish me. She just sat down, and she flipped through the pages that had the pictures on them. And she said, "Randy, listen, we all have days where we don't like someone or we're mad at somebody. But these pictures, you've written them down. You've drawn them with pen and paper. These last forever."
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should really think about what you put down on pen, what you use your pen to put down on paper.
Yeah.
And then we tore them out because I was crying like a little sissy boy. But I was really embarrassed.
Yeah.
So we tore those pages out and we threw them away together. But that lesson... that was before texting. That was before all the things that we have now. What you put on paper, what you put in a text, it can be there for a lot longer than the words that we say.
Yeah, so, even if you delete them, they're still in like a cloud or they're
sure.
in,
yep.
I don't know how it all works. Like, people can recover messages or posts even if you delete them. Like, they don't go away.
Yeah.
And it can totally... mess something up.
Yep. Now, am I saying you shouldn't have a journal? No, I think you should have a journal.
Oh, yeah, totally. I have a journal.
And I think if you have a bad day and you're mad at someone, you want to write about it, I think you should absolutely do that.
Been there, done
Maybe
that.
Maybe just don't leave it on the person's desk.
Yeah, don't leave it out.
Because that writing can be a way of releasing stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it can actually be healthy for a relationship to pen out that stuff. But again, we're getting a little bit off topic because that's a whole other thing about journaling and things like that. But I appreciate you letting me be here.
Yeah.
And to talk about these things. And hopefully it's short enough and we didn't lose anybody. And it can help someone.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Any
other questions?
One last question is, do you think, going back to messages and talking face to face, do you think what comes out of your mouth or the words that you put down reflect the health of your heart?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If the words that pour out of your mouth are angry and harsh and sarcastic and they're tearing people down, they're putting people down, they're elevating yourself over other people, that is indicative of a heart problem going on inside.
Yeah.
And it could be something as simple or not simple. It could be insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be arrogance and cockiness.
There's
and
an underlying issue.
And things, right? If your words are And again, there's a time to be snarky.
Yeah.
There's a time that you can make a smart comment and people can laugh.
Yeah.
There's a time where you can correct someone. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, this is not saying all of it's bad, but it's when it's just loose and flying and all you're not thinking
about
it.
If you're just rolling with negativity. Yeah.
All the time.
That's reflection, that's showing reflection of a broken heart, probably.
Mm-hmm.
A damaged heart. Something's wrong inside. Your soul is hurting. Whereas if your words are primarily uplifting, encouraging, positive, loving, right? All the things, what are the fruit of the Spirit?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
I think so, right?
I think that's all of them. Yeah, I think that's all
of them. If we forgot one, people just, you know, leave Allie a message saying that she missed the most important one. But if your words are reflecting those things, who are you reflecting?
You're reflecting Christ.
And if you're reflecting Christ, what's influencing your spirit?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, right? That rudder is being controlled and guided by a much better person in the form of Christ. A much deeper and loftier spirit than our own.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's human nature to be sarcastic and to be negative. I tell people at work, I thank you very much for telling me what's wrong.
Now tell me what's right.
Now tell me what's right. I thank you very much for telling me why something won't work. Now give me some ways to make it work.
Yeah.
Right? No, there are no shortage of people who are critical and negative.
Yeah. It's part of, I believe it comes from the brokenness that we have from the original fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why because this world is so broken, so we gravitate towards those negative and broken things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to think about that. And loose words every day can do so much damage.
Loose lips sink ships.
Yes.
Right.
I could not remember that saying.
I knew where
you're
going
to
get
through
that. Right? But that's,
thank you.
That's what it is. So. Anyway, I think, unless there's more, I can talk for hours.
Exactly. I don't want to talk for hours. I think this is definitely long enough. And this is such a deeper topic. Like, you could go so deep into this. So I do encourage people to read the books that my dad listed off, which were...
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay.
And Everyone... Oh, my goodness. Everyone...
Everyone Speaks, But Not Everyone Listens?
Yes. Everyone Communicates, But Not Everyone Listens.
Yeah.
By John Maxwell.
I encourage people to... read those if they definitely want a deeper dive into this, or listen to more sermons if you're like a hardcore Christian and you really want to delve into this from a full-on Christian biblical standpoint. Definitely look into those things. Use this as the start of your study and then branch out from there.
Yep.
So I'm going to close this out in prayer real quick. Lord, I come before you and I just lift up myself, my dad, and anyone that is listening to this, Lord. And I praise Psalm 141:3, which is, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips, because we all have slips of the tongue and it can do damage, Lord. Even if we don't mean it, the damage will be done. And I just pray that you will just help us to control our tongues and that we will surrender to your spirit and let your spirit be that bit in the mouth, the rudder of the ship, that impacts and guides the tongue in our words. And I pray over our messaging, Lord, that we take into consideration what my dad talked about, how there is inflection that can be put on it, Lord, and what can happen with that. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that my dad was willing to come on here, and it's in your name that I pray. Amen. And we will see you guys next time. Hey everyone, and welcome back. It's your host Alyssa, and this is Walking in the Sun with God. And today we're actually back here with my dad, and he's going to be joining us in a conversation about controlling the tongue, as we see in the book of James. So Dad, before we dive into our reading, do you have any opening notes or thoughts you want to give to the listeners?
Not particularly, but yeah, actually, yes. Words are incredibly powerful. And I think in today's society, with the constant redefinition of words.
Yes.
And the lack of verbal communication between people, that we can get ourselves as Christians, as friends, as people in a community, into a lot of trouble with the words that we use.
That's so very true.
So I think as we go through this, hopefully we can kind of encourage some people to
talk with each other.
Yeah.
I like how you touched on that there isn't a lot of verbal communication anymore, because there isn't. We are so wrapped up in texting, and at least for me, emailing, because I am homeschooled, I have to contact my teachers via email or DMs, instant messages, snaps, whatever it is. We're so wrapped up in talking with our thumbs than we actually are talking with our words. And then when we do talk with our words, we don't have that practice and we don't control what comes out of our mouths. And I do believe that the tongue does show the health and the position of your heart and your spirit and where you are at.
Well, I think it's easy to show that, to be honest, because your heart, you know, we're talking about the Bible's referencing your verbal words, you know, yes, on the surface when we're reading through it, right? Yes. We're reading like the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next part of that verse, which you're going to read here in a little bit, I believe, is this reflection of your soul.
Yeah.
What's on your inside? What do you really believe? What do you really feel?
Yeah.
But the problem that you have, or that we can run into, especially in today's day and age where people are not comfortable talking to one another, it's much more comfortable to put something into a text. And the problem that you run into there is, one, you're not having that face-to-face emotional connection, right? But
you're not able to read the person, so to speak, pick up on their body language, their facial expressions, their tone. You're not getting any of that. You're not doing that.
And what happens is, if someone sends me a text, I'm going to read that text in the reflection of my own mood at the time.
Yeah, if you're mad, you're going to read a text and put an angry tone on that text, even if that's not what the other person intended it to be.
Exactly. Zig Ziglar, he's an author, and he was a salesman way back in the day. For those people who are listening to this that have no idea who I'm talking about, Zig Ziglar used to do an exercise where he would take the term, "I did not say he hit his wife," for example. So it's pretty simple. I did not say he hit his wife, just flat. But then what he would do, so people can understand it, and I'm not going to go through the whole drill, is he would say, "Now listen to how I say this. I did not say he hit his wife." So the implication is like, oh, I didn't say that.
I didn't say it. It wasn't me.
But I'm implying that someone else did.
Yes.
Right? And he goes through this drill, changing the inflection on each word of that I did. I did not, an emphatic denial, say, I did not say that at all.
Yeah.
You know, in anger, right? I did not say he hit his wife.
Yes, there's so many different...
That one sentence, depending on where you put your focus, or what kind of mood I inflect or I put onto that written sentence,
it's going to change it in so many different directions, and it's going to point, like that sentence is going to point to you being in law enforcement, it's going to point to so many different almost outcomes. Like, it wasn't me, like you said, pure denial. It wasn't his wife. Like, you could literally take that and
be somebody else's wife, right?
Yeah, and go so many different routes with it just based on inflection and words.
Right. So when you send something off in a text, you're giving that control of what you're trying to communicate to the other person.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to read it with the way I read it will be influenced by the type of mood that I'm in.
Exactly. Right?
It'll also be influenced on the type of relationship that you and I or the person sending the text have had, right? Mm-hmm. If we've had a good relationship, I may be much more merciful and read that text with a lot different inflection. If we've had a contentious relationship, say if it's with a coworker or in your case a classmate, you might assume the worst.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that being able to look at each other and be involved in an actual conversation, either whether it be one-on-one or even on the phone, where there's at least a voice on the other end where you can hear the heart of the other person in the conversation, is extremely important.
Yeah. So before we get any further, let's read this section in James that talks about controlling the tongue, because there is so much in it, and it really points to just how powerful this small part of our body really is. So we're going to be in, as I mentioned, the book of James. It is James 3, 1 through 12. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church,
For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessings and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring.
That's one of my favorite sections in the whole Bible because it applies to all of us, and I know it applies to me because I will let my tongue just run rampant sometimes, especially when I'm in a bad mood. I know that for a fact.
It's very hard sometimes to... Not sometimes. It's a constant battle, and I think that there are seasons in everyone's life where when you're closer to God and you're actually walking with God, that it's easier to catch yourself. I don't know that it ever goes away, the desire or the innate human response to truly look for the negative, right, or to focus on the negative. The problem with the tongue is when you're trying to reflect Christ back to the world and you're trying to live in relationships with other people, whether it be a good friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a coworker, a boss, is if you can't control that tongue, you can do irreversible damage to those relationships. And it's extremely important to guard your words and to learn to control what you may feel internally, yet not allow those things to come busting out of your face hole when you're grumpy or angry, right?
Yeah.
So
this just came to me. I kind of forgot about this until right now. Back when I was in public charter school, they would do a little, not as good as it should have been, like a bullying seminar. And there was one on words. And it was, you could be bullying someone who you don't even have like a real relationship with. Like you don't even know this person. And you can bully them to the point where it's going to tear them down completely to where they will sometimes even take their own life because the words that you are saying are so impactful to each of us. Like, words hurt and it can completely destroy. Like you said, it can destroy a life. It can completely tear someone down. It can ruin their day. Or if you catch yourself and you try to use your tongue for good, it can change their whole day for the better.
Right. A positive word can bring light to someone's day that was walking in darkness.
Exactly. Right? There's that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones and words cannot hurt me. Mm-hmm. Is that the saying?
It's pretty close. You did pretty good. Yeah.
I haven't used it or heard it in a while. Yeah. It's not true.
No, it's not true.
It's not true.
Now, I will say this. There are certain personalities that just let words mean nothing. It's like, you can say whatever you want about me. I'm going to be just fine. I think even those people, deep down, there's some hurt.
Yeah.
You know.
Because we're human. There's going to be hurt.
Right. You have emotions and you need to be careful. But knowing your audience, knowing who you're talking to, should also be will help you understand how to speak, right?
Yes.
Talking to me as your dad is different than you talking to Matthew when you guys were dating.
Yeah.
Right. You know your audience. You can speak different tones and different things, speak with them or with Nora, for example, right? The way you talk to mom is different than the way you talk to me.
Yeah.
So there's just knowing who you're talking to matters. But at the core, if you're not uplifting and encouraging, right, helping, uplifting, encouraging, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right?
You're doing the opposite of that.
Another old saying is like, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all.
Yeah,
there's a lot of truth to that. You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, why even bring it up? Is there a time?
Because it's going to put you in a bad mood because you're in a bad mood, which means you're saying it, and then it's going to put the other person in a bad mood or a hurt mood, and then that whole activity, day, moment is just jacked because now everyone's in a sour mood.
Yep. You can say something, even if you're not trying to really cause a fight, you can say something in a sentence, just in a short little side jab, right? Where you have an entire weekend planned that's going to be wonderful, and you can destroy that with one sentence.
That last final word, that last jab.
Right.
That's all it takes.
You know, and once a word is said,
you
can't take it back.
You cannot take it back. I don't care. It's like, I can take it back. Let me take it back. You can't take it back. It's already been said. It's already out there.
You know, and you can apologize. And, you know, your mom and I have been married for 27 years. And there are times where I say something, I immediately catch that it was, even if I didn't intend to cause a fight or cause hurt.
Or sounded better in your head.
Or sounded better in my head. And, you know, in a perfect world, like, you know, for me, hey, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. That came across wrong. Let me re-say it. It doesn't matter. The damage is done. And it's going to take, hopefully it takes 5 minutes. It could take 5 hours for that hurtful thing that came out of my mouth to actually settle and my wife, you know, forgive me for saying that thing that caused her pain.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, whether it's something as silly as like, hey, could you wear your hair straight for me today? But she was in the mood to do it curly, whatever.
Yeah.
That can set the whole day off on the wrong foot. And that might sound crazy to someone listening to this, but when you know the other person, I should know better. And be able to recognize the signs, right? To know, like, hey, because of the communications we've had over the years, you know.
A single word coming from the tongue, and you can't, unless you're typing or writing, you can't even see this word. You just hear it. Hours. Can take hours to undo.
Well, here's the other problem, too. And I want to go back to this because I think it really relates to your generation much more.
Not talking with each other?
Well, that's part of it. What I'm saying, you just said a comment, you made a point, and you're absolutely correct. Once you say something, it's been said, it can never be unsaid, right? That's usually between me and the person I'm dealing with, and maybe a handful of people that were around, and then maybe a handful of people that get told about what it was that I said, and then it kind of dies, right? However,
not
when
anymore.
You send a text message,
it is there forever,
and it can be 10 years from now. And that mean thing you said
will come back.
Comes back in the most unpleasant, unexpected, unrelated, out of context, even worse context than when you actually said it. You know, and I get after people that I work with, and I get after you, I know, and even your mom. You know, text is fantastic. It has made technology has made our lives so much easier to do a quick check-in, but if you're going to have a real conversation, if there's something that's on your heart, or if you're angry, man, I would really, really encourage everyone not to even think twice. Don't think twice. There's nothing to think about. Don't send the text or the snap or the instant message.
Because
or
it goes back to that inflection. Like even
or
if the
Facebook,
words...
the Facebook post or the Twitter, or I guess Twitter's now called X, you know, the Twitter post or whatever it is. Don't do it. If you're angry in the moment, do not send the text.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, if you're angry in the moment and you're with the person, be very careful.
Yeah, still be very careful.
Take a breath. Mm-hmm. Maybe step back for a minute or two. Don't let the words come out of your mouth that are driven by anger.
Yeah, because it says in James that the tongue is set on fire by hell itself, and hell itself, and I believe that because I think words are actually one of the most painful and hurtful things out there because they stick with you. Physical wounds, they can't stick with you. They have scars, but they heal. Words are kind of always there. Like, you can't take those words back, and words are how we communicate everything. So, it is set on fire by hell itself, and that's the tricky part. You got to watch that.
There are things that I was told as a kid from coaches or as from teachers that, I won't share. They were mean, but they weren't meant to, like, leave lifetime scars. But there are things that I was told as a kid that I will every now and then reflect back on and remember how I felt and how much it hurt and how embarrassed I was or how ashamed I was or how angry I was made by the mm-hmm. words that were said. And that came from not just my peers or from my teachers, but also from my peers, right?
Yeah.
And parents, we're not perfect, I'm sure, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me again, and I probably will until the day I die. I'm sure I've said things that have really hurt your heart, and that when you're 40, you might look back on it and go, you know, man, that really messed me up in the moment, hopefully not forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, and things that mom and I have said to each other over the years that, yeah. you know, there's hurts that they heal, but they don't go away.
No, they right? don't. And so, they're usually tied back mm-hmm. to words, and they're tied back to the tongue.
Yeah. So if you're talking to a friend, treat them with the love that they deserve.
Yeah.
Right? Love the people around you. Reflect Christ. That doesn't mean you agree with everything.
No.
It doesn't mean that you...
You can have arguments and disagreements.
Yes.
And still choose your words carefully and not literally set everything on fire.
Right. Exactly. There are things that you need to stand on. Right? Yeah. There are things that you need to not, you know, and I don't want to get into this because this will get really long, but, you know, we talked earlier before this, before we did this about, there's a thing in society right now where they want to redefine words.
Yes.
To make those words fit
mm-hmm.
something that's more modern.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to be aware of what words mean.
Mm-hmm.
Words have meanings. Those meanings are there for a reason. And when they come out of your mouth, everyone needs to know what those words mean.
Mm-hmm.
When you start manipulating and changing the definition of a word, now it makes it very unfair. That sounds, I don't know if that's right, unfair or very difficult to have a real conversation because the definition has changed.
Yes.
Right? And
yeah.
y'all just do your own research on that. Just pick a word. Pick the word marriage. We're not going to dive into it. Look at the original Webster definition of marriage.
Yes.
And then look at the current Webster's dictionary.
Yeah, look at, like, more specific, like, 1800s Merriam-Webster's mm-hmm. definition of marriage versus the definition of marriage now and see how much it has changed.
Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I don't encourage anybody to start getting into politics because it's just depressing and miserable. But, you know, politicians are doing it often. They're doing it often. They're redefining redefine what a recession is.
What?
On the fly, they redefine what a woman is. Good luck on that one. You want to do some research on that? Define a woman. They redefine just a whole host of different words because the real definition of those words, the historical definition of the words, conflict with what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
So. That's a whole other topic because I wanted to keep this on. I think you, I'm sorry, it's your show.
No, I would love to. I would love to bring you back and do an episode right. on that because that in itself is another issue.
Politics are always dangerous, but we're talking religion too. That's always dangerous, right?
Yeah.
But no, for this one, you wanted to keep it really about relationships.
So relationships let's not and get controlling
right.
that tongue and not letting that spark mm-hmm. get out of control and then set everything on fire.
Yep.
We can all think of a time where we've been on the victim end of that, and we can all think of a time where we've been on the attacker.
Offending.
Thank yep. you. I could not find yep. that word in my brain to save my life. End of that.
Yeah.
So that's what I have. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's good for today. Like, this can get really long. Like, if I were to, if you want me to do a quick wrap?
Sure.
If I were to do a quick wrap on this, it's control your heart. Because when you control your heart, the words that come out of your mouth will be more measured.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything and say everything in love with the purpose of edifying and uplifting and encouraging the people around you.
Yes.
And when you're going to send text, and now I'll end on this piece because of the generation that hopefully this is going to, text messaging, instant messaging, all the things, understand that when you send that message, it will be interpreted and read based upon the mood of the person who's receiving it.
That the other person is. Not you, the other person.
Right? And that can go both ways. You could be saying something kind of snarky, and they might read it as a compliment. Or you might be saying something as a compliment,
and they're going to read it as an
insult. Right? So I really encourage this generation that's more comfortable doing the texting stuff to at the very least, if you have your phone in your hand, don't send the text. Why don't you make a phone call?
Yeah, talk with each other. We're losing those talking skills because we're not actually talking with each other.
We're not talking with each other.
Like, texting etiquette is like, hey, what are you doing? Nothing much. Cool. Like, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. There's none of this real world, real full word conversations anymore.
And I know y'all youngins think that you're going to inherit the world and you're going to be in control someday, and you will. But for now, y'all have to work with people like me. And I want to have a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. I need to know that you can have a conversation. So that's a side note. Yeah. But being able to communicate, start practicing. And be merciful with each other. Because if you're not real good at verbal communication, you're probably going to offend someone, even someone close to you, unintentionally.
Yeah,
but you won't be able to get better and communicate better if you don't practice. And sending texts isn't going to get you there. Nope. So, sorry, that was kind of another offshoot. This conversation could go 100 different ways.
Yes, it could. And maybe soon we'll dive into some of these rabbit trails that can come off of this, because there are so many.
Yep.
So do you want to close out in prayer this time?
Sure.
All right.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this time. And I am very, very thankful that I have a teenage daughter who is willing to let me come and be part of her ministry, and I pray that you bless that ministry and that you help her to reach the people that need to hear this. And I know that there are people out there that this will be beneficial to, and there are people who will hear this and go, who's that old man talking? It doesn't matter. I am just thankful to be here. So Lord, we thank you for the fact that we live in a world that has this technology, that we can send out these types of messages. We pray and ask that your spirit will take this message and send it to where it needs to go. And I pray that you'll protect Allie as she goes forth doing this, and protect her from the attacks of the evil one. And just bless her. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining me. And we'll see you guys next time.